Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for him.
You are holy.
You are holy.
You are mighty.
You are mighty.
You are worthy.
You are worthy.
Worthy of praise.
Worthy of praise.
I will follow.
I will follow.
Mighty God, Lord of everything, He's Emmanuel, He's the great I Am, He's the Prince of Peace, who is the Lamb, He's a living God, He's my saving grace, He will reign forever, He's the Ancient of Days, He's the Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, He's my Savior, Messiah, Redeemer, and Friend, He's my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for Him.
I will sing to and worship. The King who is worthy,
He's Emmanuel, He's a great I Am, He's a Prince of Peace, who is the Lamb, He's a living God, He's my saving grace, He will reign forever, He's the Ancient of Days, He's the Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, He's my Savior, Messiah, Redeemer, and Friend, He's my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for Him. He's my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for Him.
You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for You.
I've heard thousand stories of what they think You're like, but I've heard tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and You tell me that You're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who You are. It's who You are. It's who You are, and I'm loved by You. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only You provide, 'cause You know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who You are. It's who You are. It's who You are. And I'm loved by You. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of Your. You are perfect in all of Your ways. You are perfect in all of Your ways to us. You are perfect in all of Your ways. You are perfect in all of Your ways. You are perfect in all of Your ways to us. So undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly guess. You call me deeper still as You call me, deeper still as You call me, deeper still into love. Love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who You are. It's who You are. It's who You are. And I'm loved by You. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who You are. It's who You are. It's who You are. loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Let us be seated as we pray. Holy God, we are so thankful that our true identity is found and defined in you, Jesus. How we thank you. God of all creation, for remembering us and drawing us near, calling us your own. It is in you, Jesus, that we are loved and chosen and adopted, accepted, redeemed, and forgiven. And we will praise your name as long as we live. We are children of the Most High God, and we delight ourselves in you. We are so grateful that we get to do life with you, that you walk with us hand in hand, guiding us gently, holding us close to your heart, pouring your life and your love and your power into our spirits. We thank you, Lord. We are so glad to be your people. God, this morning we thank you for Calvary Baptist Church. And we are so glad, too, that they are your people. We thank you for the life and ministry you live in and through them. We thank you for their love for your holy word. We thank you for their love for one another, their heart to serve in our community and in the world. We thank you, O God, that you sent this, your Son, because you loved the world. Each one you desire to come to you. And Lord, we are in agreement. This is our prayer. Every nation and every tongue will declare you as Lord. How we love you, O God. God, we thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you that we can bring everything to you. And Lord, we pour out our hearts to you this day in praise and thanksgiving, giving you glory and honor. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Alleluia. 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 life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Cleansing by revealing how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory.
The King of love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever, and he is mine forever.
Where streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he leadeth. And where the fertile pastures grow, with food celestial feedeth. Never failing, ruler of my heart, everlasting, lover of my soul, on the mountain high, or in the valley low, the King of love, my shepherd is. The King of love, my shepherd is. Lost and foolish, off I stray, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently lay, and home rejoicing brought me. Death dark veil and fear no ill, with thee, dear Lord, beside me. Thy rod and staff, my comfort still, thy cross before to guide me. Never failing, ruler of my heart,
on the mountain high or in the valley low, the King of love, my shepherd is. The King of love, my shepherd is. Shepherd is never failing, ruler of my heart, everlasting, lover of my soul, on the mountain high or in the valley low, the King of love, my shepherd is, the King of love, my shepherd is.
And so through all the length of days,
thy goodness faileth never.
Good shepherd, may I sing your praise within your house forever.
Within your house forever.
That was so beautiful. Thank you so much. So this is a picture of my son. He is with his son, his youngest, who is now 2.5 years of age. And when Kurt was about that same age as his son is now, he regularly had an issue with his wardrobe. Now, he could put his pants on just fine, and he could put his shirt on very well. But then when it came to the socks, oh my goodness, it was like World War III. Because his complaint was, I can feel the ridges. And so we bought tube socks that have no ridges. And do you know what he had the audacity to say? I can still feel the ridges. I have just one thing to say to this. Like father, like son. Here is my vindication picture, the I told you so picture, the whispered prayer, I hope you have one just like you someday picture. This is Kurt's son telling him, my socks hurt, I can feel the ridges. And so I couldn't escape or couldn't resist capturing this moment in time. But maybe what I'm having a hard time admitting to you is that my son, whose son now feels ridges in his socks, got this malady from me, his dad. This is like father, like son, like father, like son. Because I too complained about feeling the ridges. And now you know the rest of the story. You got a weird pastor. So we've been talking about burlap blessings, haven't we? Things that rub us wrong in life. We talked about grace and that when we receive it, we don't always want to give it to others as we have received it for ourselves. We've talked about faithfulness and how God is faithful even when we aren't faithful. And then last week we talked about fellowship and how it draws us closer to God and to one another, even though we live in a society and in a culture where we are pushing people apart towards more and more isolation. And so this week our topic is healing. And friends, this is a very sensitive subject and I want to approach it with caution and love and care. But that being said, there are so many good lessons for us to find in Scripture on healing, and I hope that we do just that. But first, let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for these beautiful moments which we share in your name, for celebration through song and prayer, through instruction and teaching and guidance and seeking your heart as we open the Word of Life. Lord, let it speak deeply to our hearts. And would you shape the very life of Jesus inside us, Holy Spirit, as you are doing your work of healing, mercy, and grace? And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Does this look familiar to you, this card right here? Anybody? For the last month, we've been working on this as our memory verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Let's use as little or as much of the screen as we need to and recite it together. Here we go. Ready? For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Jesus Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us through him to the glory of God. You are doing so much better at memorizing that than I am, and I'm just so thankful for that. But there's truth there, the truth that God gives a yes in the promises of Jesus and then invites us to give our amen, our yes, back to him. And when they collide, amazing, beautiful things happen. Now, after I graduated from seminary, I was ordained in the Methodist Church here in Missouri. We were living in Joplin, Missouri at the time, having moved from Big D and having finished the education there at Southern Methodist. My Texas-born son, Kurt, was just over 3 at the time, and though he was very verbal, he was going through a new season with the change of location where he was mumbling everything. Like, you would ask him, what do you want for breakfast? And he would mumble a response. Now, he knew what it was he was saying, and he was just being Kurt. He was just doing his thing, and he wasn't going to be changed from that course. It was still plenty loud. Volume was not the issue, but distinguishing one word from another certainly was not easy. Anyway, that was his habit. And so here we are with Methodist pastors all coming across a large state with delegations from all across the state of Missouri, lay and clergy, for the time of ordination. And this is a historic moment in the life of the church. It reaches all the way back to the days of John Wesley. And there are historic questions they ask the clergy at that time. And one of those is, do you have faith in Christ? And everyone gave a resounding yes. And then the next historic question was, do you believe in the scriptures contained in the Old and New Testament? And again, a resounding yes. And we had been instructed to give a robust, lively response, and so far, so good, until it came to this question. Do you expect to be made perfect in love in this life? And I have never heard so many mumblers in my life at that moment. Now, if you really take that question seriously, I wonder if some of us wouldn't also mumble. Do you expect to be made perfect in love in this life? Was the question Bishop W.T. Handy Jr. asked not once but twice because of our lackluster first response, and he got a less than enthusiastic yes the second time. Now, I think the reason, at least for me, that I was among the mumblers on that day was recognizing just how imperfect I am. But Wesley's idea was that there would be a moment when we would not only pursue perfection, but obtain it. So what was he looking for? Well, what he believed was this, that you and I become perfect in love the moment we take our last breath of earthly air and the first breath of heavenly air. Do you believe that you'll be made perfect in love in this life? And the answer is yes, when life eternal comes. So, looking at the healings found in the Bible, and especially through Jesus, often we see Jesus saying something like, go now, your faith has made you well, or whole. But never in any of the scripture that I have found does it have Jesus saying, go now, your faith has made you perfect. Not yet, anyway. See, every person that Jesus healed eventually died. Now, Lazarus was called back from the grave, and Jesus weeps. And I wonder if it isn't because he knew what Lazarus was already experiencing in the joy of the Lord and the perfection of what took place for him in heaven, and he didn't want to call him back to the brokenness of this life. But even though all that Jesus touched and healed eventually died, it does not underplay their healing. For in that moment or in that season or for the rest of their earthly lives, they were well or free or whole. And God's desire is the same for you and me, that we would not live less than whole lives or free lives or lives experiencing wellness. Though this healing in this life is temporary for this life. So please don't run me out of town for these words. It is just simply the truth as we examine Scripture. But now, as that truth, there are all kinds of healings that take place in the Bible and through life. To do this, I want us to look at how Jesus grew. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Can we read this out loud? Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and favor with people. And we do as well. This was written by a doctor, Dr. Luke. He observes that Jesus grew mentally and physically and spiritually and relationally, just as we do. But friends, if we can grow in these ways, we can also break in these areas of life. There are times when mentally we are not whole, physically we are not well, spiritually we are fractured, or relationally we are tugged at or blown apart. And that's why the words of Jesus are so resoundingly important when he says, only a sick needs a doctor, and we need a doctor in those moments of our own personal brokenness. So here's one who was experiencing a time in his life when he was not well. In fact, he had been experiencing it for a long, long time. John chapter 5, beginning in the first verse, Jesus is encountering a man who was laying by a well that when the angel stirred the waters, the first one in the water received healing. Let's listen. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity of 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition in a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be well?" And sometimes, friends, I feel as if God's asking me that same question in my brokenness. Do you want to be well? Now, this man had been stuck on a 4x6 mat for 38 long years, complaining there was no one to carry him and put him in the waters. But Jesus gets to the heart of the issue for this man. Do you want to be well? The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the water when the pool is stirred up, but when I am coming in, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." Now, later on in the scriptures, the Pharisees will look at this, and their first complaint is, "You did that on the Sabbath, and you can't do that on the Sabbath." Really? If somebody's going to receive healing, who cares when that happens? Especially on the Sabbath, that's when healing should take place, because it's the Lord's day and the Lord prevails in that moment. But then Jesus finds the man who didn't even know Jesus' name and says to him, "Sir, leave your life of sin." Because for this man, it wasn't physical healing he needed spiritual healing. Now, that's not always the case, but sometimes there's something broken in our spiritual life that causes a physical manifestation or a mental manifestation or relational manifestation. But can I just say that sometimes people go way too far, and when somebody has had illness or brokenness, they add a layer of guilt on them, saying, well, if you just would confess that hidden sin in your life, friends, that guilting is not from God. And that just lays an extra burden on the life of that person who is desperately seeking God's heart. But let Jesus do that work in that person's life as they discern what that brokenness is. Now, in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6, we read something very beautiful about God's desire to always bring spiritual healing to us. And it's these words. He was wounded for our, what? Transgressions. He was bruised for our, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Now, this has to do with our spiritual brokenness, our sin that has separated us from God. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. When you and I come to Jesus honestly and openly and say, Jesus, I know I'm broken. I know I'm not perfect, and I need you, Lord. He will always provide spiritual healing for us. But in the areas of our physical life or our mental brokenness or in the areas of our relational brokenness, there may be other factors that have to be considered. And in those moments, if we don't experience healing in that time, don't discount this very truth that Jesus has not left you and that God continues to love you. Because I think sometimes what happens is when it doesn't happen instantaneously, which is a miracle, we just walk away and give up. But in those moments of healing, it may take place over time. And this shows us in this verse that there are spiritual things like sin and separation that can cause deep brokenness to our lives to the point that we would just simply give up. But James offers these beautiful healing words in the fifth chapter. He says, is there any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is there anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church together to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. And if there is sin, he will be forgiven. So therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed or restored. The promise of Jesus is, I am with you always. He doesn't abandon us when we're broken emotionally or spiritually or physically or relationally. That may be the moment that he comes closest to us, even though we may not be aware of it because we are so consumed by that thing that is breaking us. And in that moment, that's when we need God and each other like never before. And that's why we're going to be opening a healing room in the next several months. At the end of the service, a lot of folks don't want to come down. It's not because they don't want to pray. It's just they don't want the spotlight or there's not enough time. And for whatever reason, we don't want that to be an awkwardness for anyone. And so pretty soon you're going to see a room developed just right behind the worship center where you could slip down the hallway and walk into a place where your church family will have counselors to anoint with oil and to pray, to believe, to trust, to receive communion every week if you would so desire to have someone listen a little bit longer than we have when we're here at the altar, because we believe in the significance and the power of prayer and God's desire to heal us. And even when that isn't immediately apparent, we're going to stand in there with one another and for one another. Now, my son Kurt, that you've seen in a couple slides this weekend, he's 6'4" and weighs about 200 pounds. He's tall and skinny. And a year and a half ago, he was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. Not your typical body type. He went from one day believing everything was fine to now he's going to take an insulin shot the rest of his life, short of a divine miracle. But part of the miracle of God is through the work of medicine, doctors and nurses who have dedicated their lives towards healing people in this life. Do you know that I got to spend some time with them this weekend, and his 5-year-old, the middle child, every night prays for his daddy. He prays for Jesus to walk with him and to love him and to heal him in whatever way that would be possible. Healing doesn't always come in the form that we might desire, but can I tell you, God is stirring up some kind of healing in every broken part that we experience of life. You've heard this raspy voice for a number of years. I wasn't healed of that surgery that went wrong, but I'll tell you what God did heal in me: my bitterness and the resentment. And he gave me a joy, and I've got a voice that makes me not be able to give prank phone calls anymore. And when I go through the drive-thru, a young person will say, "Is that all, Pastor Jim?" Because they know that voice. And I'm grateful. Because I can stand before you today and say that even when the healing doesn't come in exactly the form we want it, Jesus doesn't walk away from us. And we, like Wesley, may come to the conclusion that the best and most permanent healing that God will ever give us is eternal life. That's the end goal. That when you and I get to heaven, we will rejoice with all others who are completely healed of all the brokenness. That's when you and I, friends, will be made perfect in God's love. But until that day, let us pursue wellness and wholeness in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, I remember growing up in church hearing the song, "When We All Get to Heaven, What a Day of Rejoicing That Will Be." When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. But Lord, ours is not a delayed victory. Ours is victory in Jesus now. In his name, there is healing that takes place, but not always in the form or fashion that we would desire. Give us great grace and faith to trust you even in those moments. And we don't have all the answers, and we would not seek the answer to why today, but we will seek the answer to who is with us, and we hear a resounding word from across eternity: I am with you always. I can't begin to know what my brothers and sisters hold in their hearts today, what challenges they face, what brokenness may be present physically, emotionally, spiritually, or mentally, but you know, Lord. And my deep, sincere prayer is that you would walk with each one and bring your touch of life that would restore, that would bring wellness, that would bring hope, would bring the healing we all so desperately need. Holy Spirit, do your work in us in this moment as we would give those things over to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in the next few moments, we've got some folks who are going to be up front here to pray with you about anything that might be on your heart today. If you'd like to pray at your seat, please do that. I'm so thankful that we're a praying congregation and believing and trusting congregation. And this is our moment to speak with God. So would you do that in your own way at this time? Friends, I would invite you to stand with me and receive this benediction as we go forth from this place. And now, Lord, may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit abide with each of us as we walk through our days. May we walk mightily with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in God's grace. Have a great week.
I'm training my sorrows. I'm training my shame. I'm laying them down, the joy of the Lord. I'm training my sickness. I'm training my pain. And I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. And we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord.
I am blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure, and his joy is going to be my strength. And though the sorrows may last for the night, his joy comes with the morning.